The Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. If you want to hear this show again or past shows, check us out at RadioMD.com. Here are Joe Galewski and Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
It's the Passionate Radio Show that helps you take control of your genes to become the world expert on your body. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen, Chief Wellness Officer at the Cleveland Clinic, where we welcome you today to the show. We hope you enjoy what you hear today. We always try to inform you best we can. 877-711-5211 on the phone. udocs@gmail.com, Y-O-U-D-O-C-S @gmail.com on the email. Hello, Dr. Mike.
Hello, Joe. It's a good day today.
It's going so well so far. I like our guest at 34 past the hour. We've never, ever looked into something like this. It's the first national study looking at pediatric injuries in amusement rides. And we'll cover everything from carnivals to state fairs to major amusement parks. That's an interesting topic today.
And it's actually interesting how low the rate of accidents is. We'll come back to that, which of the amusement parks you should be worried about or worry more about, and then what to tell your children about injury prevention and how to prevent and help them. And maybe we can even talk about abductions.
Oh, that'll be good, yeah, after what happened in your town this week. What's the buzz on that story in Cleveland?
Oh, we're trying to stop people talking about Cleveland this way.
Well, every now and then these kind of crazy things do happen, but I can't imagine being abducted and treated to that kind of abuse, just horrific abuse for that long, 10 years.
Well, the amazing thing is she is alive and well, and at least relatively well, and free after 10 years. And how he accumulated three of them is beyond me.
Yeah. I wonder what's more difficult to get over. Is it the physical abuse that they endured for 10 years or the psychological abuse over that amount of time?
Well, I imagine the psychological abuse, although her words on being free sounded so good. You can't, they say they're doing incredibly well. It's hard to believe they're doing incredibly well, but I guess if you hope for freedom and you get it, then it's pretty amazing.
10 years of your life lost and in a very difficult situation. Again, udocs@gmail.com, Y-O-U-D-O-C-S@gmail.com. We have a lot of interesting top medical stories of the week, and you have a plan for the Real Age Tip of the Week in the hour yet?
Well, we're going to make this a tip that fits with our guest. Teach your kids online safety. So it is teach your kids how to be safe online.
Okay, that's the Real Age Tip of the Week. Before the end of the hour, were you a big amusement park ride person? Did you have any fear of amusement park rides?
You know, I did not like roller coaster rides, but it was fear of losing my the food I'd eaten at the amusement park more than anything else, I think. But you know, my amusement park joys got, I took my daughter, I think when she was four and a half, to Disney World in Orlando, Florida. And after riding on It's a Small World 63 times, I said I was ready for anything more active.
Oh, man, that's abuse on the body. our favorite place is, and it's near you, Cedar Point.
Cedar Point,
in
yes.
Sandusky, and they put a new roller coaster in there every year, and they get bigger and they get faster, and it's just amazing. I think they've got close to maybe 20 roller coasters there, and for some reason I was good until I got to be about 55, and then after that it's tough on my body. I mean, I just hit a wall. I could ride. Now, I can't do a lot of dizzy type stuff. I could do the roller coasters. The spin stuff is tough on me, but for some reason, even I got to be about 55 years old, and I hit a wall in riding all these. Of course, the roller coasters at Cedar Point, there's one that's 450 feet high, and one that goes from zero to.
How do you get to the top?
you just climb to the top like you do a regular roller coaster.
So you walk up a flight of
Oh, no. The first hill is, you go up in the cars. No, the roller coaster. Yeah. And they have one called Top Thrill Racer, I think, if anybody's listening.
So you don't start at the top on that one.
You start at the bottom.
And they crank you up in those kind of, bike spokes.
They're train cars.
Yeah.
They're train cars. And, one is 450 feet. And I rode that one, but they've got one there called Top Thrill Racer that goes for you start in the house, you start in the train house, and it goes from zero to, 110 miles an hour?
Oh, my gosh.
And it goes up 550 feet in 3 seconds or 5 seconds. And just looking at these.
That's good for losing whatever sanity you had, right?
Yeah, it is. For some reason, I got to the point in my life where it's tough. But thankfully, we got through, and I could ride them when the kids were small. A lot of really good medical stories of the week this week. This is one I talked about on my show this week, not with you, but with someone I had on, about grocery shopping. And grocery shopping on an empty stomach, what does that, what problem does that pose?
Well, this is an interesting one. This is Brian Wansick's study from Cornell. Brian he normally comes to Cleveland every January 1st, and we have him on the show right around there. But Brian is head of the test lab in marketing at Cornell, and he had people who were hungry for 5 hours. And some of them he gave Wheat Thins to, so they weren't hungry, and some he didn't. And the ones who were still hungry picked up the same amount of healthy products as the people who were non-hungry, but picked up many more of unhealthy products than those that were no longer hungry, that had been fed the chips, if you will. So the message is, you can, in fact, decrease your hunger pretty substantially and decrease your bad food purchases pretty substantially by just having a snack such as Wheat Thins before you go to the store. It's a great, great thing, because he showed, one, you could, that you did eat, you did choose bad food, but that if you stopped by blanking your hunger with a little Wheat Thins, you in fact were able to decrease the, if you will, the thins, the snacks that were unhealthiest.
I had a nutritionist on my show this week to talk about this topic, and she suggested, as far as a game plan in going grocery shopping, work the perimeter. Did you ever hear that before? Work the perimeter.
Yeah, we wrote about it.
Grocery store.
I shouldn't tell you, but we wrote about it in 2001 in our Cooking the Real Age Way book, because the perimeter has, as you now know, has all the fresh fruits and vegetables.
Yes. Yep.
And has very little of the packaged food. So working the perimeter first is the right way of doing it.
Right. The junk food's in the middle. Right. That's where all the junk food's in the center of the grocery store.
Although grocery stores have gotten attuned to the strategy now have figured out a way of putting junk food all over.
Yeah, they're going to find it anyway. But I also noticed, because I noticed these things, that the beer aisle is on the perimeter of the grocery store, because it's close to the dairy products. It's opposite the dairy products on the other side. So if there's one thing on the perimeter that is, there, it's the beer. But essentially, like you said, all of the healthy stuff is in the on the perimeter of the grocery store. Okay, I think we're going to a break next, and then we just got the cue to go to a break after this, and we'll continue with our top medical stories of the week. Our hot hands. Hot hands in sports, a real thing, and high hospital bills go public, but will it help? That's a great story. We'll get into that after the break on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Mike Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
You tune up your car and change the oil when it's running sluggish, right? Well, then how come when you're feeling low and sluggish, you aren't doing something about it? D-Herbs can help with their full body cleanse or dozens of other healthy, all-natural supplements and products. It's time to finally do something for you. Take a look at D-Herbs quality all-natural products, and you get a free gift, famous D-Herbs all-natural, all-herbal cleansing tea and an ebook with important life-changing information that you can download. It's called The Power of Cleansing. You can heal from any disease. Just go to freedherbs.com. That's free, the letter D, herbs.com, and claim your free herbal cleansing tea. You just pay a small shipping fee for that. And then you can download your free ebook on the wonders of healing cleansing. You'll also get a 15% off discount code if you should decide to make a purchase. Free gifts for you, plus a special gift of better health. freedherbs.com. freedherbs.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Regina Benjamin, U.S. Surgeon General. As a family doctor, I've seen the terrible impact of a premature birth. Losing a baby is one of the hardest things a family can go through. As Surgeon General, I see the toll that premature births have on our nation. It can cause lifelong disabilities. It is the leading cause of death in newborns. And our country has one of the highest rates of preterm birth in the world. We must do better. Hospitals need to ensure that babies are delivered early, only when medically necessary. We need research to find the causes of premature birth and research to find new ways to prevent it. Couples need to learn the risk of premature birth and what they can do to have a full-term baby, such as getting a preconception checkup. Remember, 40 weeks is a full-term pregnancy, and every week of pregnancy counts. Let's work together for stronger, healthier babies.
I didn't think it was anything.
I had pain in my abdomen. It just wouldn't go away.
I was spotting, but I had already gone through menopause.
These symptoms may be nothing, but they could be early warning signs of a gynecologic cancer, such as cervical, ovarian, or uterine cancer.
Seeing my doctor probably saved my life.
Warning signs are not the same for everyone. If you think something's wrong, see your doctor. Ask about gynecologic cancer. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO for more information. A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This is Tour de Cure, and it's more than just a bike ride. It's a celebration. It's where every turn of the pedal helps stop diabetes. Where cyclists of all levels come together to make a difference, to raise money, and to raise hope. It's the ride of your life. It's Tour de Cure. Register today at diabetes.org/tour. That's diabetes.org/tour.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. It's the time of year when colds and viruses begin making their rounds through schools and families. Sometimes parents will ask for antibiotics, believing they will shorten an illness, allowing their child to return to school or child care quicker. But antibiotics are not usually the answer. Antibiotics are powerful drugs that need to be used cautiously. Antibiotics have no effect on viruses and will not reduce the length of the illness or the symptoms. They are highly effective in treating bacterial infections such as strep throat or bacterial pneumonia. But overuse of antibiotics can make them less effective when truly needed. Some bacteria strains have become resistant to antibiotics as a result of antibiotic overuse. The best way to treat a viral infection is with rest, fluids, and TLC. So feel free to baby your child who has the cold or the flu. Give them lots of love and care, but save the antibiotics for when they are truly needed. And for more information on children's health, visit www.aap.org. With a Minute for Kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And brought to you weekly by Morning and Night Multivitamins and YouBeauty.com. YOUDOCS@gmail.com is Dr. Mike's email for your questions and Dr. Mike's answers, advice, anything you need. UDOCS@gmail.com. YOUDOCS@gmail.com. If you miss an interview, you don't miss an interview. RadioMD.com anytime you want. Hospital bills, Dr. Mike, going public. What do you think? Is that
right.
A good thing?
Well, CMS, this is the Center for Medicaid Services, Medicare Services, said we should see if we can get some competition among the hospitals if people know what they're being billed. Now, most of these people, in fact, are automatically, that is, their Medicare bills are paid for them. And no matter what they are billed, the same amount is paid for the same procedure. That is, Medicare has negotiated in a one-way way with all providers and said, we'll pay you X, take it or leave it. And so almost all physicians now take Medicare. And if you do that, you're paid X amount irrespective of what you bill. The bills really are for the rare person who has not negotiated or not had negotiated on their behalf a price in advance. And they show how they vary. For example, on I think it is hip replacement surgery, the low was $5,000 and the high was something under, what was it,
$123,000 in California.
Yeah, really ridiculous. But doesn't matter. There's a uniform amount paid by Medicare. So I don't know that this is going to do anything other than it is interesting, the variation in price, which doesn't mean anything, you know, since it's not the price you have to pay. It's not the price Medicare pays. It is just a price that they would charge people who are not insured by any of the insurance companies.
But if you're charging 10% more or 20% more than what it costs to deliver the service, I think that's an acceptable profit margin. But charging, you know, 400% more than what it costs has no rational basis to me at all.
None of the medical bills have any rational basis because they were set up in a system where it didn't matter what you charged because you were going to get paid the same thing. So it was basically a system set to justify the minimum price. That is, you had to make sure that your price was above what you would actually get paid.
I think medicine's the only business where you have no idea ahead of time what you'll be charged, as if medical rates are set at some, you know, third world bazaar. And I think the government hasn't done much to protect us from this corporate health care. You know what I mean? How about strengthening antitrust laws to restrict the power of hospitals? I mean, that would give insurance companies probably more leverage to bargain over prices and then tax hospital profits, I don't know, you know, 60-70%, then tack on a surcharge on non-doctor hospital salaries. And then, you know, will any of this happen? Probably not, because hospitals are pretty powerful.
Enforcing the antitrust laws, I think, is a very good thing because there is too much power in some hospitals. But, you know, in the last 10 to 15 years, those have not been enforced very strongly in hospital mergers. And as you said now, the taxing income above expenses, almost all of that goes back into capital expenses, meaning, in fact, 100% of it must in the not-for-profit hospitals. So no matter what we make, it gets used by the capital expenses. One of the interesting things, though, that'll be very interesting to follow in the next 5 years is virtually every hospital in New York City would be underwater if the current price changes go into effect and stay in effect.
An average hospital stay in the United States, from what I hear, costs about $4,200 a day. That's three times as much as the next highest cost per day. That's in Australia at $1,400. Argentina has the lowest average daily cost of $430 a day.
And those days are very valuable.
I guess. They ran an article on a local paper here yesterday about the very, very different ways of hospital costs, and they just cited one example of a knee replacement. We have 8 or 9 hospitals here in the area, and the cost of the knee replacement ranged anywhere from $26,000 to $37,000.
No, that's the charge. That's not the cost. That's
The charge. Yes, charge.
But in fact, the cost is uniformly, Medicare will pay uniformly the same, irrespective of the charge. And most insurance companies, for example, I think it's Excellus Blue Cross Blue Shield in upstate New York, will pay the same irrespective of what the charge is.
I was amazed by that, how different, how wide and varied a lot of these costs are for, you know, the government released these studies and these numbers based on, you know, 100 common procedures and how all over the board they are. Hot hands, Dr. Mike, what are hot hands in sports? What is that all about?
You know, when I saw the title, I thought I was going to learn about cooling off through the AV fistulas in your palms.
Right.
Get you to live longer or get you more endurance and better performance. But this was about if you make one basket or you do something well in shuffleboard, for example, what's the chance your next shot will go in the basket? And they looked at free throws. What did they look at? They looked at two things. One was free throws, and I can't remember the other. But it was a very interesting study in that if you make one, you actually have a higher chance of making more of your shots in the next little while, but the next one tends to not go in. And they thought that was because the psychological event, when you make one, you think you're so good you can make one from farther out,
right,
et cetera. And so it tended, although the next one tended to not go in, there was a positive effect of a change. And remind me, you've probably read this more recently than I did. What was the other thing they studied? They studied all follow shots that basketball players in the NBA took. I think it was from 1985 to 19. It was like a 10-year period.
Okay.
And then they also followed one other sporting event, and I can't remember it, but I'll look up the study in a few seconds. I'm trying to go through it and find the study, actually, because it was such an interesting study to me that it was hot hands.
Okay, so if you're playing a game, if you're in a 3-on-3 basketball game or something, hey, give the ball to him, he's got a hot hand, right? It could be a jump shot, it could be a free throw, it could be, you know, hey, give him the ball, he's got a hot hand right now, right?
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so what they studied was all the NBA, 50,000, they studied, I think, 11,000 free throws in the NBA, what happened to the next free throw, and then 50,000 games bowled in the Professional Bowlers Association to see after you got one strike, did you get another? The answer was you didn't get another. You tended actually to get fewer strikes the next time, but overall your games were of a higher score. So there is such a thing as a hot hand. We used to say no, but there is such a thing as a hot hand.
Yeah, it's called in the zone. He's in the zone, right?
That was exactly what they were studying. Is there such a thing as in the zone? And the answer in 1985 from those data was no. Now the answer is yes.
Wow, that's really interesting. udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com. If you like to ride rides anywhere from the high-tech amusement parks to the state fairs to the county fairs to the carnivals, we'll be talking about the first national study looking at injuries in amusement rides, covering all that and everything in between. It's an interesting segment. You want to be here, so stay with us. This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Thanks for listening, and stay well.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business.
I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize your message.
I can teach your children.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Hi, I'm Olympic gold medalist Shawn Johnson. I want to make sure you know about the March of Dimes, March for Babies. This walk is really special to me. I was born with an Apgar score of 0, which is not an ideal way to start. Every day, babies start life the same way, with the odds stacked against them. Their first steps are made possible by ours, all of ours. Take the first step at marchforbabies.org. Let's walk together for stronger, healthier babies.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. Snowboarding is a popular winter sport. Snowboards look like big skateboards made from fiberglass and plastic. Snowboarders ride their boards much the way surfers do, steering by shifting their body weight. Most can reach speeds up to 40 miles per hour. Twice as many injuries happen to snowboarders as skiers. The most common injuries are to the wrist, usually when snowboarders use their arms to break a fall. The American Academy of Pediatrics does not recommend this sport for children under age 7. For older children, make sure the snowboard fits the child. An easy way to determine this is to make sure the board stands no higher than the child's nose. Children should always wear helmets and gloves with built-in wrist guards, and they should resist trying advanced stunts or dangerous tricks until they've mastered all the basic snowboarding skills. And for more information on your child's health and safety, visit www.aap.org. With a Minute for Kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
Hi, I'm Dr. Regina Benjamin, U.S. Surgeon General. As a family doctor, I've seen the terrible impact of a premature birth. Losing a baby is one of the hardest things a family can go through. As Surgeon General, I see the toll that premature births have on our nation. It can cause lifelong disabilities. It is the leading cause of death in newborns. And our country has one of the highest rates of preterm birth in the world. We must do better. Hospitals need to ensure that babies are delivered early, only when medically necessary. We need research to find the causes of premature birth and research to find new ways to prevent it. Couples need to learn the risk of premature birth and what they can do to have a full-term baby, such as getting a preconception checkup. Remember, 40 weeks is a full-term pregnancy, and every week of pregnancy counts. Let's work together for stronger, healthier babies.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business.
I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize your message.
I can teach your children.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Hi, I'm Olympic gold medalist Shawn Johnson. I want to make sure you know about the March of Dimes, March for Babies. This walk is really special to me. I was born with an Apgar score of 0, which is not an ideal way to start. Every day, babies start life the same way, with the odds stacked against them. Their first steps are made possible by ours, all of ours. Take the first step at marchforbabies.org. Let's walk together for stronger, healthier babies.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Listen for Dr. Mike's Relay Chip of the Week in about 15 minutes. You have a fear of riding amusement park rides because, well, they go pretty fast and they turn pretty hard, but you may think they're unsafe, whether it's at one of these big theme parks or a carnival or a state fair. Well, we're about to talk about the first national study looking at pediatric injuries in these rides. And again, everything from carnivals to major amusement parks. Dr. Gary Smith, professor of pediatrics, emergency medicine, and epidemiology at Ohio State, The Ohio State University, the founder and director of the Center for Injury Research and Policy of the Research Institute at Nationwide Children's Hospital in Columbus, Ohio. Amusement park rides. This is a terrific topic because we're heading towards summer and people go to these places to be thrilled. You know, Dr. Smith, we have thanks for coming on. We have here in Syracuse the State Fair, New York State Fair, every year, the Straits shows, and they get in here every August. And it always seems every year for in the first couple of days, we get a story in the news about somebody injured on one of the rides. Is that pretty common? Is that probably one of the instances where the rides are a little less safe than, say, a fixed amusement park?
Well, I think we can safely say from this study that amusement ride-related injuries are occurring across a broad spectrum of venues and types of rides. We know from previous literature and that's been published that has primarily focused on roller coasters and big rides, that they certainly do occur there. But this was sort of the first study that looked across the entire spectrum and includes not only those large amusement parks and also your traveling amusement rides, such as in carnivals and fairs, but also the local amusement rides that might be in your local arcades, your restaurants, and your shopping malls. Ones that young children, particularly under 5 years of age, might be exposed to. We found that across the board, all of these types of rides do have injuries, and interestingly, different types of injuries.
But it can't be a good thing to have to tear these rides down and set them up again every 2 weeks, can it?
Well, you know, I think what is particularly helpful is that the mobile rides are regulated by the Consumer Product Safety Commission. And they do a really good job at oversight and enforcing safety standards. There are a broad number of safety standards that exist for rides, and the Consumer Product Safety Commission enforces those for mobile rides, such as in traveling carnivals and fairs. The ones that you find in the stationary amusement parks or theme parks or even down in your local arcade or restaurant, those are generally regulated by state and local government, and there's a lot more variability there from state to state. So actually, in some cases, those may be less safe. But I want to really emphasize one thing about this study was the big limitation of this study is we don't have good numbers on ridership. So we don't know how often these children are exposed to these different types of rides, so we can't really calculate risk. We can tell you the numbers, and the numbers are pretty even across the different locations, but the actual risk itself is really hard to come up with, and we certainly need much better data to be able to come up with those numbers for you.
All right, here's Dr. Mike, Dr. Mike Roizen.
Now, the press release I saw said about 300 million people take a ride every year in the United States. Is that really a true guesstimate?
Those are generally numbers that come from the fixed amusement parks and theme parks. Those were the only numbers available that we could find. When we tried to dig deeper and find out what's the ridership on your traveling fairs, your carnivals, and your local shopping malls, arcades, and restaurants, there's nobody that has numbers that we could find to help us with that. So that is that's an underestimate, the number you just quoted.
So if that's an underestimate, that means that at most something like 1 in 23 million will get a 1 in 23 million riders would get a serious injury. So it's a pretty low risk.
It is a low risk, and I think that's the good news of this study. In fact, we saw about 4,400 children being treated in hospital emergency departments across this country each year on average. That's roughly one every 2 hours, and during the warm weather months when people are more likely to be on these rides, it was about 20 children a day, but less than 2% of those children required admission to the hospital, which is relatively low. So that's the good news. Most of these injuries are not serious and do not require hospitalization.
Now, if a mom's concerned about her child going on a ride and they're going to an amusement park, let's say they're going to the one that Joe likes, Cedar Fair, which is I guess you'd call it a fixed amusement park, and correct me if I'm wrong. If you're going there, what should Joe tell his grandkids? Should he have grandkids?
Well, so the thing that I would recommend to all parents is be sure to follow the directions that are there, the instructions for the ride. There are going to be minimum height and weight requirements for most of these rides, as well as age requirements. Understand that those are minimum, however, because just because a child physically may meet those minimum requirements, they may not be developmentally or emotionally ready. If a child is easily frightened and might try to wiggle out of the restraints for the ride while the ride is in operation, that child's not ready, and the parent needs to acknowledge that and choose a different activity. So clearly, follow instructions and be on the cautious side. Don't force a child onto a ride before they're ready.
And what about an adult? Let's say you don't want to go on a ride, but your child does. Should you be going on rides with your kids?
Well, that would actually be true in my case. I don't really like these rides that throw you around. I think that that you would probably, in that case, especially if you're me, would find someone that could go on the ride with your child. I think, you know, I get car sick pretty easily, and these rides really throw you around a lot, so I'd probably be a terrible person to partner with on a ride. But again, if an adult is on a ride with a child, they should make sure the child's well-restrained, and you should be loaded in correctly so that your weight isn't thrown on the child while the ride is in motion.
We have a couple of questions on injury prevention in general coming from the email question line.
Okay.
And one is, says, what's the most important or what's the most common injury in kids? And what does it come from and what do I do to prevent it?
Yeah, that's a great question. The most common injury is a fall, and that occurs in various locations. So children under 5 spend most of their time in the home, and so home-related falls are very common in that age group. But even across the age group, and especially into the older adult years, we see falls leading all of the other types of mechanisms. And that's the leading cause of emergency department visits as well among children. Anytime a child is above a surface, the potential for an injury is determined by two things, just basic physics: height of the fall and how cushioning the surface is underneath. And so when parents are, or when a child is playing or placed above a surface, the parents should be paying attention to those two factors. And coming back to our amusement ride story, many of these rides, especially among young children, in fact, about 3/4 of them were due to fall. And if it's over a hard surface and if there aren't restraints provided with those rides, then those are two things that contribute to those injuries. Parents should be looking for those, and that's something they can anticipate to help prevent these injuries from occurring.
And now, so under the age of 5, what about, are bike accidents very common? I mean, I worry about kids riding bikes without helmets. Is that a common thing, or am I over-worried?
No, it is a very common source of injury. In fact, bicycles are the second most common consumer product related to injury other than the motor vehicle, and motor vehicles are way out in front. But bicycle, because there's so many bicyclists, because it's such a common activity, it's driven by exposure, so the more you do an activity, the more likely you're going to see an injury. In this case, bicycle-related injuries are very common, and you're absolutely right that the serious injuries are going to be due to head injuries, so wearing a helmet is absolutely imperative.
All right, we'll be back with Dr. Gary Smith in just a couple of minutes, the director of the Center for Injury Research and Policy of Nationwide Children's Hospital in Columbus. Injuries, kids' injuries, and injuries from rides at Carnival Fairs, and more with Dr. Smith coming up on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start insures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
If you know the symptoms and get the facts, you'll know the signs of a heart attack. Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if it sounds familiar, call 911.
Pain in your neck, chest,
arms, or jaw,
shortness of breath,
please tell us more. Cold sweats and nausea, tiredness,
it's time to take it serious.
Back pain, stomach pain, shortness of breath, cold sweats, nausea, dizziness. If you know the symptoms and heed the signs, you'll be around for a long, long time. Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if any sound familiar, call 911.
Learn a song that could save your life.
Get a free download at womenshealth.gov/heartattack.
Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if any sound familiar, call 911. If any sound familiar, call 911.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
My story may help you. This is what happened. I was talking to my best friend. I told her I wasn't feeling like myself. I had pain in my pelvic area and bleeding that wasn't normal for me. Since it had gone on for a couple of weeks, my friend said I had to go to the doctor. Of course, she was right. Turned out I had uterine cancer, a type of gynecologic cancer. To make a long story short, by realizing something might be wrong and seeing my doctor right away, I received treatment. Now, we're confident I'll be fine. Please, please listen to your body. If something doesn't feel right for 2 weeks or longer, see your doctor.
Uterine, cervical, ovarian, vaginal, and vulvar cancers are all gynecologic cancers. Signs and symptoms are not the same for everybody. So get the facts. Get the inside knowledge. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO to learn more.
Knowing can make all the difference in the world. It did for me.
A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. While planning gifts for your children, grandchildren, nieces, and nephews this holiday season, don't forget about toy safety. Toys need to match a child's abilities, so always check the manufacturer's age recommendations on the toy first. In general, toy parts should be much larger than the child's mouth to prevent injuries, including choking. To avoid serious eye or ear injuries, steer clear of toys that shoot small objects into the air or make loud noises. The eyes, nose, and other small parts on soft toys and stuffed animals should be securely fastened. If a toy comes with instructions, make sure you read and demonstrate them to the child and make sure she understands the proper way to use the toy. And note, never buy hobby kits such as chemistry sets for any child younger than 12. For more tips on keeping your holidays safe with your children and family, visit www.aap.org. With a minute for kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And a few more minutes left with Dr. Gary Smith, Professor of Pediatrics, Emergency Medicine, and Epidemiology at the Ohio State University. Also the Director of the Center for Injury Research and Policy of the Research Institute at Nationwide Children's Hospital in Columbus, Ohio. Safety of amusement park rides. And also safety of kids, keeping kids safe from injury. Here again is Dr. Mike Roizen.
Now, the safety thing, if you were going to say, you know, let me go and instead of babbling here, ask another question. This is a question from our email line. It says, how did kids ever survive in our age? This is a person who it's Joan, who is 66. She said, we didn't have seat belts, we didn't have helmets, we did all the same things. Didn't seem to me many more kids died in our era, got injured or seriously injured or died in our era than now. What was the difference?
That's a great question. And actually, I sort of call that the survivor's point of view. There's a survivor bias there, but in fact, the numbers of injuries and injury deaths were much higher earlier on. We've seen about a 20% decrease in injury-related fatalities in just the last two decades alone. So there's been, it may be close to 30%, but there's been some successes. We still lag way behind other public health problems in terms of being able to decrease the number of deaths. Right now, injury is the leading cause of death for children and young adults. In fact, from ages 1 through 44 in the country, it's remarkable how common injury death is. And that doesn't even account for all the children that are seen in emergency departments and clinics and hospitalized as well. So the burden is massive.
And so with this survivor, you think we actually, there are many more kids that aren't getting injured. And can you take us from 1960 to now. What's the difference in accident rates? Do we have that data or death rates?
Yeah, we do have the data, and I'll tell you, I don't have it in the top of my head. But the good news is that we've seen dramatic declines over the last 2 to 3 decades in the number of injury-related deaths. And it's largely been due to things such as the advent of use of car seats in cars. That started back in 1977 with a pediatrician by the name of Bob Sanders in Tennessee. And within 7 to 8 years was a law in all the states. We've seen great improvements there. But there's a couple areas we still see continuing problems. One is that's actually increasing now is suffocation among infants. And another one is actually poisoning deaths, primarily due to opioid overdose among teens and young adults.
And now the suffocation, what is that caused by? And what can a parent do about that?
Well, it's a good question and something that parents should really know about if they have new babies at home. During the first year of life, especially in the first 6 months, children can suffocate easily. They don't have good head control, and if you put them on a sleeping surface that's soft or on a pillow, they can block the mouth and the nose, and it can cause suffocation in that way. The recommendation is that all children should be put to sleep on their back. They should be placed in a crib with nothing else in the crib, just the child in a sleeper. No stuffed animals, no pillows, no baby bumpers, to help decrease these injuries. And we found that when that is done, the chance of dying from suffocation in a sleep environment decreases dramatically. So that's one thing parents really should follow.
Now, anything you can tell that, and I don't know if this is your area of expertise, but we got the question on the email line again, is what do you do to prevent abductions like there were in Cleveland 10 years ago? And is that just so rare that you don't have to worry about it, or is that common enough that the Amber thing works tremendously, or what should we tell people about it?
Well, I am not an expert in abduction. What I can tell you is when I look as an epidemiologist at what the risks are for children, those risks are, thankfully, relatively rare. They obviously are just horrific when they occur. They grab the headlines, and people think about that. And so taking, I think, common precautions are important. But simply driving to and from school in your car or to work without using appropriate car restraints for children, the car seats or booster seats, that's actually a much higher risk than the risk of being abducted.
Huh. So, and what we've learned is that many of the car seats, we had an expert on a while back, but many of the car seats are mispositioned, misapplied in cars.
Yeah, actually, it's well over 85%, if you can imagine. Thankfully, many of those misuses are not real serious. There's some where they're just simply not strapped in very tightly and the child can be thrown forward in a crash. But others are just loose straps or the positioning clip on the chest is slightly off. The thing we can tell you is that using a appropriate car restraint, whether it's a car seat or a booster seat, decreases your chances of serious injury or death dramatically in a car crash. And parents would absolutely use them. You know, even when there's some slight misuse, they're still better than nothing. Clearly, if parents are unclear about that, there are fit stations that you can go to take your car and car seat, and they'll actually help fit it in the car. Those are available online from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. They'll give you local locations where you can take your car and car seat, and they'll help you with it.
We're going to go to the Real Age Tip of the Week in a second, but before we do, what's the website we would give people if they want to learn more about it from you?
Well, our Injury Center website is injurycenter.org, and we're happy to take any questions. You can contact us through that website. And thank you for inviting me on your show.
Thank you. And now we'll go to the tip of the week. And this one fits exactly. Teach your kids online safety. Doing goofy things online, even if you're not a politician, can get you into plenty of trouble. With one click, you or someone you love can send a harsh word, wild photo, or worse, into cyberspace where it will stay forever and one day come back to haunt you. If you see your children or grandchildren spending more time on Facebook than face-to-face with you, you're right to be worried that they might wind up in a situation they regret. The internet is like a tattoo on your forehead, visible for all to see and almost impossible to remove. So here's some tips. Don't email when angry. Put your electronic toys to bed early, at least an hour. Put photos to the grandma test. Don't upload any pic you wouldn't want your grandmother, college administration officer, or future employer to see, because they will. Keep personal info private. Don't reveal your school, where you live, any detail, making it easy for strangers to find you. This goes double for photos of any private part, obviously. Don't friend someone you don't know. And are you feeling cyberbullied or harassed? If something doesn't feel right, tell a parent or school counselor. You don't have to take it. Use the internet, in fact, for you and not for others. And that's the Real Age Tip of the Week.
Okay, Dr. Mike, thank you very much. If you missed a segment, would like to rehear a segment and would like to hear it over and over again, or miss something anywhere along the way with interviews, it's RadioMD.com. This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
You tune up your car and change the oil when it's running sluggish, right? Well, then how come when you're feeling low and sluggish, you aren't doing something about it? D-Herbs can help with their full body cleanse or dozens of other healthy, all-natural supplements and products. It's time to finally do something for you. Take a look at D-Herbs quality all-natural products, and you get a free gift, famous D-Herbs all-natural, all-herbal cleansing tea and an ebook with important life-changing information that you can download. It's called The Power of Cleansing. You can heal from any disease. Just go to freedherbs.com. That's free, the letter D, herbs.com, and claim your free herbal cleansing tea. You just pay a small shipping fee for that, and then you can download your free ebook on the wonders of healing cleansing. You'll also get a 15% off discount code if you should decide to make a purchase. Free gifts for you, plus a special gift of better health. freedherbs.com. freedherbs.com.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission: to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.